Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
So my name is Kobe Sherlock, and I own the Sherlock team at Cross Country Mortgage. I'm a mortgage lender here in Henderson, Nevada. I grew up in New Orleans, Louisiana, and shortly after Hurricane Katrina in 2005, I moved to Nashville, Tennessee, where I attended Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro. Met my wife, came to Vegas, and we've been doing mortgages ever since.
Very cool. Do you mind if we jump right into some student questions? Some of the kids emailed me questions ahead of time, and I thought it'd be cool if we just jump into those first. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Let's rock. Okay.
One of the kids wanted to know, can you explain what a producing branch leader does on a day-to-day basis when it comes to your career?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the mortgage space, for anyone that may not know, mortgages, of course, are the opportunity for us to lend money for folks to buy homes across the United States. And so one of my responsibilities on a day-to-day as producing branch leader is essentially twofold. One is a role of a manager, in which I manage the finances of the operating branch. So it's my job to make sure that we are profitable as a business in order to support all of our employees, teammates, and of course, any of the services and things that we render and support. The other opportunity that I have as a producing branch leader is that first word, produce, right? It's my opportunity and my responsibility, I should say, to go out and capture relationships in order to create opportunities with realtor partners, with businesses to support folks with mortgages. So my job is to go out, hunt for the business, create relationships that I can support long-term, and then of course manage our P&L to ensure that we're profitable.
Very cool. And we're going to hop around some questions. I got questions from different points. I mean, thank you for sending us that extensive bio. One of the kids want to know, how did your wife, Jane, how did she influence your career shift into the mortgage business? Like, how did that happen to make that career shift?
Yeah, great question. And Ralph, you're more than welcome to provide the students' names if you have them. But to the student for that question, the way that my wife influenced my opportunity in mortgages, a few years back, she had taken a job with a mortgage lender who became a mentor of mine early in my career when I first started. My vision was to come to Las Vegas and actually attend law school. I wanted to go to UNLV for law school here at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. And so I was working at a restaurant, and as I was studying and preparing to take the exams needed, the LSAT, to go to law school, my wife invited me to her Christmas party for her new job with this mortgage lender. And from there, it was a very Wolf of Wall Street type moment where my mentor at the time, he approached me. We had long conversations, pretty much showed me the amount of money he made and said, look, you cannot go to law school and you can try this and make money this way. And I said, you know what? That looks pretty good. Let me give it a shot. And thank God I did, because my wife encouraged me. She supported me on the front end in that transition. And we have since grown to be one of the largest mortgage lenders in Nevada. I also serve 9 other states. We support Florida, Louisiana, Tennessee, Arizona, California, Iowa, and Montana outside of Nevada. So we have an opportunity to serve across the country.
And if they want to learn more, where's the website that they can find information regarding it?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to learn more about my company specifically and what we do, you can go to thesherlockteam.com. So it's just my last name. It's thesherlockteam.com. You'll get to see my mug on there, and you can learn a little bit about what services we provide and information about the company.
We have a student in Spain. Ricardo had emailed me. He wanted to know, how did moving from New Orleans to Nashville after Hurricane Katrina, how did that shape your perspective when it comes to home ownership and stability? Because that was, and if you can describe kind of what all was going on in Hurricane Katrina, because some of these places where these kids are coming from, they don't have hurricanes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, wow, that's loaded, but I'll go for it, Ricardo. So what it looks like is, in 2005, at the time I was 14 years old. I had just started my 9th grade year. Matter of fact, that weekend was my first like football Friday at my high school. And then shortly after that Monday, Katrina hit landfall. So the hurricane, you know, normally in New Orleans, it was not uncommon to have hurricanes come through the state of Louisiana. What was typical is in a scenario where the hurricanes are projected to be larger, families would evacuate, go to towns where they would be safe out of the range of the impact of the hurricane. We would essentially take like a hurricane vacation from school. And then, you know, if it wasn't a big one, we wouldn't leave at all. But for the most part, we would leave, come back afterwards. Well, and this time we left and evacuated. We knew Katrina was growing large. And of course, Hurricane Katrina hit landfall and wiped out my home in Chalmette, Louisiana, flooded it, you know, well over, you know, I think 20 feet of water in Chalmette. And so, of course, we didn't have a home to go back to. At the time, I was in Tyler, Texas, when I found out. And from Tyler, my family, my mother and I and my little brother traveled to Nashville. We started making our way there. It was a tough journey right in that moment because gasoline and things were hard to come by. We actually got stuck in Jackson, Mississippi, waiting for gasoline to be replenished. So we just waited in line and me and my mom took shifts in the car. And so it was a lot of emotions during that journey from Tyler, Texas to make our way to Nashville. And when I arrived, I actually arrived in a small town called Greenbrier, Tennessee, where my father, his mother-in-law, if you will, had lived, or excuse me, stepmother had lived there. And Greenbrier, Tennessee, I remember we got there, a small church, Greenbrier Baptist, helped us out. Folks from that church took me shopping, got me new clothes, and pretty much gave me the chance to start fresh. They said, look, we can get you enrolled in the school at Greenbrier High School. You could start your life here. And I was terrified, right? I'm pretty much in 1 week's time, I had to make a decision with my family to my whole life kind of got flipped upside down. But in all of that, the positive is this, is that it was a blank slate. It was a chance for me to recreate life in the way that I wanted to design it and set goals for myself that maybe I didn't have when I was in Chalmette, Louisiana. And so for me, I committed to wanting to go to college and I achieved that goal. I set that goal, made it to Middle Tennessee State University, and had a great journey. I got my degree in political science pre-law, and I was the student body president at Middle Tennessee the year that I graduated. So it was a great journey. And I'm grateful. A lot of people won't tell you this version. For me, I'm grateful that Katrina gave me the opportunity to reestablish my life in the way that it did.
That's amazing. I mean, you have, and this comes from me, and we'll go with four or five more student questions, guys, so keep them coming either in the chat or email. But this comes from me. Can you talk about when you're persevering through adversity, how important it is to have faith and hope to get through?
Absolutely. And thank you for that question, Ralph. You know, for me, let me start with faith, because I think what's important to me is when I was a child, you know, my parents got me involved in church, several churches. We tried different church arenas. And this idea of faith really landed for me young. Why that's important is because when I was a teenager, when Katrina actually happened, I'd say at that point in my journey, I was the furthest away from my faith that I could have been. I was making bad decisions at that point in my life. I had no ambition to want to be a part of a church family or, you know, really look to expand my faith. But ultimately, I knew that I had had my experience. I had understood faith, what it looked like to me. And so to bring it to your question on perseverance and faith, the first thing that I could do to find a common, stable place for me to think and grow from in that moment of Hurricane Katrina, in those drives with my mom, looking at my mom with a bit of hope, relying on her, but also feeling as the older male in my family, like I needed to contribute immediately. You are almost forced to grow up. And the only thing at that point that I had outside of my mom and dad's advice was my faith, was knowing that no matter what, I was breathing, I was alive, maybe not in the way that I wanted to be, but I had an opportunity to push forward here. And my faith really gave me the courage and the hope to lean forward on God and say, look, God, if this is your, you know, path for me, then give me what is best coming out of this. And to this day, I'm super grateful for all of the blessings that I've been able to receive in that journey. And of course, that faith was for me not only important then, but that same faith is important to me now as an adult. When I wake up and I know that I got to take care of my family and I got to take care of my community and I get to contribute at a high level. So I'm glad you asked that. It's a huge part of my life. It's a huge part of my morning routine, is just waking up and being in gratitude and thanking God for being able to even show up today on the Zoom call with you guys.
That's great. And I know we had Pastor Nick from Central Church in Henderson. He discussed that very similar with the kids, as far as persevering through adversity and having that faith and hope, whatever it is that you believe.
I hope my answer was better than Nick's.
No, it was pretty good. I'll send you his interview. We have Ludovica in Italy. Buongiorno, come este? Go ahead.
And did you always know you wanted to work in this field, or did your path change over the time?
That is such a beautiful question. Thank you so much. No, I did not know I wanted to work in this field. And to be completely honest, this field was not even a possibility in my head or in my dreams until I was in my late 20s, until my wife brought it to my attention that it was a possibility. And so, you know, with that train of thought, I've always been a person that set goals and had high drive, ambition, very competitive, maybe sometimes too competitive. But the reality is that I was always committed to a couple of things. In my soul and in my head, I told myself, like, I wanted to find myself in a place where I can enjoy my work and use my career as a vehicle to allow me to have the freedom to actually do what I'm passionate about. And that's community service. You know, that's given me the opportunity to find ways to give back to nonprofits, whether it be financially or my time in service, and really just be a part of something. I always wanted to have a vision of being a part of something that's much bigger than me. Because at that point, to me, I felt like it was my purpose, right? Like God was telling me, Kobe, you can do something big if you really, you know, put your attention to it. So my point on that is this: if you have a goal to become a specific career, attack it. Attack that goal at your biggest and, you know, highest amount of energy and ambition you can give it. Give it your effort. And while I was attacking my goal to become this lawyer that I really wanted to be, I found an opportunity that gave me a path to even be more abundant, both financially, but abundant in time. And that really helped me to find a space where I can serve my family, not be away from my children, which is important. I have two little children, 5 and 4, a boy and a girl. And so my job gives me that opportunity to serve people directly as giving them loans to get into homes, which is such a beautiful thing when families get their first home, but also to give me the freedom to do exactly what you and I are doing right now. And that's just taking a step away from work and helping whoever I can help along the way. So I tell you, attack those goals, but don't forget to be open to what God or the universe is putting in front of you as a possibility, because you never know how you're going to get to where you're going. Sometimes life throws you a curveball. That doesn't mean you can't knock it out of the park.
Amazing quote. So we're hopping around because I know it's getting kind of late for some of our kids in Eastern Europe and different parts of the world. But we have a question, and this guy, I'm going to play because a few of you guys emailed me this question, but I kind of wanted to showcase his community work. And we talk a lot about the service work, giving back to our communities. And Kobe, you're involved with Pinecrest Academy of Nevada. Congratulations on the appointment with the Henderson Chamber of Commerce, as well as, you know, of course, Hope for the City. I brought a lot of people here to talk to you guys about Hope for the City and the importance of giving back to those who can offer nothing in return. Can you talk to the kids about why it's important for business professionals to get involved in various local community organizations like these?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to probably hit on a few of those points, but first and foremost, before business, just personal, it's important for me to be a part of service in the sense that it fills my cup. You know, I really believe that, you know, and Katrina was a good example of this. You know, when you have nothing in life financially, or, you know, when all you have is family and friends, and for some of us, not even that, when you have nothing, you have faith, and you have the opportunity to serve and be outward focused. And I believe that when I go into a space where I'm outward focused, that God provides me with an abundance of blessings. And so I like to spend most of my time really focusing out. I always joke with my crew, I say, when in doubt, focus out. I think that's so important. And so for me, not just for business, but for personal giving and contributing, I don't think there's a better way to serve friends, family, neighbors than to show up for them. And it could be the smallest task. It could be money. It could be helping somebody, you know, hang a picture frame on a wall, or helping someone cut the grass, or whatever's true, or wherever you're at around the world, whatever small task you can do for your neighbor. But those kind of things, they fill our cup, right? And it makes me feel empowered and good that the work I'm doing has impacted another life, even if it's as small as those things. So to the business standpoint, I built my business that way. I told myself that I wanted to be what I considered an impact lender. I wanted to be an impact, you know, business that wherever I go, sure, I, you know, am abundant and can create business for myself and do really, really well in mortgages and be really good at doing mortgages. It's a very difficult job. It's a high stress job. A lot of interpreting guidelines set by investors and mortgage-backed securities. And so there's things that we need to do often and daily that can be very stressful. But I know that when I take an opportunity and with the money that I make, be able to reinvest that into the very community that I'm getting people homes in, it really is empowering. It's good to see that when I'm at maybe the supermarket or Pinecrest, because I serve as the chair of the school board over our campuses here in Nevada. When I'm in Southern Nevada specifically, when I'm at the supermarket or the park and a family comes up to me and says, "Hey, I saw you, you know, at Pinecrest. I just want to say thanks." Or, "Hey, I saw that you donated to Hope for the City," or whatever's true. It's not about the acknowledgement. It's about knowing that I'm making an impact on a mission that's much bigger than just waking up, coming to work, and going home. I hope that supports you. And I do believe that in business, when we find ourselves giving out to the world, again, being outward focused, then an abundance of business comes, and it's a win-win, right? My whole mission is to create a win-win with my clients and community, that whatever I expect to take from this community and the world of business, I expect to give tenfold, the same way that God promised that as I give, I shall receive. So that's just kind of how we do it.
That's great. We got two more student questions, and a vice principal has a question. I'll end it. Is that cool?
Absolutely.
All right. This comes from Arnaud. Arnaud is in France. Arnaud, you can unmute. You had a very good question, buddy.
Hello. My question is how to stay humble when you succeed.
Ralph, that came across a little soft, wasn't it?
He wanted to know, how do you stay humble when you're successful?
Oh, man. Honestly, try not to think about the successful part, right? I think that a lot of people get caught up in the concept of being successful and what that means. To some people, it means a bunch of money. To some people, it may mean something else. So successful to me, in how I define success, is this is very basic for me. It's really love and connection. I think that if I can give a whole lot of love to, starting with my family, outpouring to my friends, then I feel a great deal of what I believe success is. And so some people may define that as being humble, but the truth is I would trade what is considered humble for gratitude. I think that when you wake up and really just sit in gratitude and be grateful for whatever's in front of you, it could be a meal, it could be an opportunity to do something fun, it could be an opportunity for business, it might just be an opportunity to play a game with your friends, whatever that may be. If you can find gratitude and take a moment in each of those moments to find gratitude, I think humble is just associated with that. That's just my opinion. And being humble may just be people's perception, but the truth is, and the way it works in my mind, is that I just feel gratitude. And I hope that helps. Arnold, I would say, just if you can find gratitude in your journey for everything, whether it's being on this call or whatever you do after this call, that will support you greatly. And then the last thing I'll share is that I pray, and I just make that a part of my practice. And I'd be lying if I said it's a daily practice. For a while in my journey, I would pray to God, honestly, when I felt like I wanted something or needed something. And what I learned quickly is that just doesn't work. It's just not what prayer is intended for. And so the more that I created a prayer practice in my journey with my family and myself, it was much easier pathways for me to find gratitude when chaos was going on around me. I say that to say we can't control what we can't control. So I try to let the feelings and emotions of those things go by the wayside. I just try to ground myself and feel gratitude because that brings me happiness and allows me to smile when things may be a little hectic. Even when I feel stress or I know there's things that I get to handle on the horizon, it helps me to really gain a different type of energy to achieve those feats. I know it was a really long answer, but I hope that
Oh,
supports you.
that was good. So, we have a question from Assistant Principal Villarreal, and she is in on the East Coast. Go ahead and ask your question.
So first off, thank you so much for speaking to so many of our international students. My name's Jessica. I'm the Vice Principal for Academic International Studies. And you mentioned earlier how like this wasn't what you expected to go into. And sometimes, it can be scary to go into new ventures because it's a fear of the unknown. What would be some advice? What would be one piece of advice that you'd give to students or to anyone who might be going into like a business that maybe is unknown to them or trying to transition into something new?
Jessica, that's such a great question, and thank you for that. And whether it's you, Jessica, honestly, as I speak to this, or the students on this call, or Ralph and his journey, I'll tell you what I truly believe on that. Whatever you're feeling, make the jump. It is going to be terrifying. It is going to be scary, but there's such a grand reward in the result that lies after you jump, whether it be a learning of failure. Maybe you jump and you fail, and it's not as comfortable as or as stable as maybe the platform you launch from. But I promise you, in that journey of making that action to commit to yourself, like I am doing this for me, whatever that is, if you've decided that this scenario in your vision is better for you than the one that you're in, jump. Because it is going to be terrifying, but the thrill of the ride, the learnings that are going to come, whether it stresses you out, there's going to be something waiting for you at the next platform that you land on eventually that is going to be the reward that you are searching for. And chances are, just to be honest, once you jump once, you're going to jump again. You're gonna take a risk. And isn't that the juice of life, right? Risking that feeling of uncertainty, that feeling of when you're on the other side, being able to look back and say, I can't believe I did that. And how did it help people in front of me or behind me by doing that? Whether I set a trail for someone else to follow, or I created a possibility following someone else, whatever's true. But don't be afraid of the pain of the risk. Don't be afraid of all the negative possibilities. Just know that there are possibilities that are things that you can create in front of you. And always, 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 I'll tell you this, and I mean it about myself. Every student on this call and anyone else, always bet on yourself. The truth in this world is that no one's coming to save you. No one is coming to save you, and that's okay. Always bet on yourself. And if you are feeling like you want to do something that maybe people are advising against, or maybe the general public would never see as, successful or sustainable, just jump. And if you need to come back, just know you always can go back to whatever was comfortable, maybe in a different job or a different location, but you can always move backwards. But jumping forward is the excitement for sure. I hope that helped.
Dude, that helped a ton. And that actually answered because we got some questions from both Nevada and Italy. The kids want to know, and this can be the final question before we let you go. They want to know what is the most important thing to have in mind when you're running a business, whether it's mortgage or something completely different. What could you tell them as a business owner?
Yeah, the most important thing to have in mind is everyone else. The truth is, the way I process that on my day to day is I take care of myself first, then I take care of my family, then everyone else, right? And so my family, oddly enough, is in my business. This is a family business for me. So it's myself, my wife, my best friend, my sister-in-law, some of my great friends. I have a lot of friends and family that work for me here, but it makes it fun, right? I created it that way. So there was a lot of risk going back to Miss Jessica's comment and question, because I was hiring my very family and friends. So not only did I have to win the game for me, but I was responsible for their, efforts and success in somewhat of a way. And I wanted to make sure I set them up to win every single day. So to bring it back to the question about what do I keep in mind in business, I keep in mind a few things. Everyone else that I'm serving, I want to make sure that I always have my eyes on the target. My responsibility is to do mortgages. When I do my job, everything else is possible. If I don't do my job, nothing else is possible. So I keep my eyes on the target, and I keep high consideration for how I show up for those people that are considering buying homes, which means I continuously educate myself to ensure that no one else knows more than me. I continuously call and connect to make sure that no one else has a better relationship with my partners than me. I continuously serve in the arenas that these people desire so that I can create a win-win with them and myself. And the result for me is an abundance of business that leads to an abundance of opportunities that leads to me being able to go home at night, hang out with my family, reset, and do it the next day. And one more part to Jessica's question, I think that's important. When I came into this space and became a business owner, the comfort of waking up to receiving a paycheck went away. I wake up every day and nothing is guaranteed. My business could stop today. And that every day is a little scary, but every single day I'm willing to jump to know that I can create more than what I'm promised on a daily paycheck from other companies, if that makes sense. So I hope that
Absolutely.
helps.
No, that helps a ton. That helps a ton. Well, we can't thank you enough, Kobe. And please thank your team for allowing us to borrow you today for this interview. And traditionally, before I end the meeting for all, I allow everyone to unmute. And around the world, can we say thank you to Kobe Sherlock for taking the time out of his day to talk? Okay. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank
Bye.
you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.